Hello, listener, and thank you for listening and tuning in to The Millennial Dad, where I, Adrian Trotter, 28-year-old owner of Trotter Media, go into the funs and fears of raising kids in 2018. This episode is non-explicit, so if you are listening with young ones, this episode is safe for them. I'm going to be telling my story today about yesterday and about today. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So hi guys, this episode I'm actually recording at 10:50 today. I'm keeping myself honest and actually releasing a podcast every day, so I didn't actually realize how tough it is sometimes to go ahead and do that. So keeping myself responsible, keeping myself honest is a big part of being the millennial dad, or just a person, because if you're not holding yourself accountable in simple tasks, well, they might not even be that simple, but if you're not consistent, you start to slip, and then it becomes a slippery slope of doing absolutely nothing. So at this section, a segment of the show, I'm going to actually talk about yesterday. Yesterday, I made a mental challenge, if you will, to, for one, put out an episode every day on Facebook tips for my agency. Every day this month, I would be talking about Facebook, but to also be able to create this podcast every day or do an episode every day, that way I leave my family and children a legacy of in who I am. They can know their father and not just have an idea of him because I have to put on like the daddy mask and help raise them, you know? This has been my struggle because I saw growing up so many times that I didn't really understand my dad. My dad and I now have an amazing relationship, but growing up, I didn't really see him too much as a father, you know, like I guess I don't just feared him more than anything. Let me tell you something about fear. It's a great motivator, but it doesn't last that long. And I, at this juncture, I'm just like storing away my thoughts and ideas to my children. So once one day they see Trotter Media become what it is, and maybe they might even work for the agency and maybe one day own it, but at least they'll know like I started from nothing. Yesterday, I think my wife was the only one that listened to my very first podcast, so I'm literally starting from nothing and no one, so I'm pretty, is very excited about that. So yesterday, once I made that mental note about that, I did some research before and did a Google search about storytelling, and I realized I think I'm just a natural storyteller. Let me explain. What I mean by that is I don't really have to think too much about structure. I've been writing stories since I knew how to write. I've been telling stories since I tried to get out of my very first lie or my very first punishment. I would lie and make up a story, and of course it was horrible and I'd always get caught. But we craft stories to get what we want sometimes. Like when I was a child, I remember just me and my brothers and sisters, and just in case you didn't know, let me stop here for a second. I am the oldest of seven children. I was born in 1989 in Pasadena, California, in Huntington Memorial Hospital to Lynn Trotter and Ben Trotter, or Benin Trotter, and we'll get more into kind of how they met and everything. But I'm the oldest of seven. So my brother, who's a year and a half younger than me, Paul Trotter, he and I were like best friends. You know, we grew up doing a lot of things together. And then my sister, Katie, was 2 years after Paul, and then Vicky's 2 years after her. So I grew up as a Disney child, hearing and seeing stories and loving movies like The Lion King and Little Mermaid and Aladdin and things like that. And just the storytelling of Disney inspired me to, when it'd be late at night, or we would just not, me and my brother, we had a, we lived in Banana Cay at the time, but it's called Bristol Bay now. And one of my earliest memories is having a bunk bed and sharing a room with my brother Paul. And then when my sister was born, you know, we still were just a tight-knit little me and my brother, you know, big brother Adrian protecting Paul from monsters under the bed or just imagination, right? So anyways, I bring that up because like on the weekends we'd all hang out like either near bedtime or very early in the morning because my parents were didn't really want to be woken up, and we'd sit around and just talk and tell stories. And I came to the point of being able to quote The Lion King, I think at like 4 or 5 years old, like start to finish. I think that was that old, but nevertheless, I read that on Google yesterday about storytelling, or that's what I did the podcast of, rather. And then I did the YouTube video. The cool thing was, is on Thursdays, I get to work on my client's work, and I had a, with the agency, I met up with another agency I'm doing work with, and really walking them through what this social media management tool called Sprout Social. Now, without going through all the details and the boringness of social media, it was cool because we all collaborated. We all like talked, and it was a great experience for me to walk them through something I knew, like my knowledge on that tool on the computer through Zoom, which is a program where you can share screens and have multiple people on. And I realized I love teaching people. I love, that's my passion. Some people, like when they have to explain to their grandma how to open up their iPhone and click or tap onto one of the icons and to fill out your information on your Facebook page just to set one up. Ugh, how annoying they feel. Like they have no patience for that kind of stuff. Well, I do. I don't mind going through that kind of stuff, and in some regards, getting those aha moments or the people understanding how the flow of a program works is fun for me. I love that kind of stuff. But yesterday was just a pretty good day, but I could tell I was visibly drained. You know, I woke up at 6 as I normally do. Well, let me actually be honest. The alarm goes off at 6, and then I do this mental game, and I'm sure we've all done it, right? In the morning, your alarm goes off, and you think like how much time you have before you really have to get up. So I say to myself, well, Liliana, who is my 6, almost 7-year-old, well, she's gonna need to get up and get to school at 6:45. So I'm laying in bed, like fighting and battling with myself. I think I spend a lot more time battling with myself than actually getting those precious hour seconds of sleep that you want. But yeah, that's what happens. So my wife is very so much loves sleep as well, especially with that baby cooking in her belly. There's no way I'm gonna make her get up and do like just everything. So anyways, I get up closer to around 6:30. We get Lily up, and this is the day in which she has to go with her father. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're listening to this podcast and you said, "Didn't you just say that she's your daughter?" Well, yes, I, as a person, as a man, I look at her as if she's my own. I haven't had any other way. My dad taught me a lot about being a man, and at this point, being married almost 2 years with my wife, I love Liliana. I love teaching her things. I don't even think of her like that's not my kid, that's my stepdaughter or whatever. The sucky thing is, and I'll be completely open, and I'm sorry if sucky isn't used in your house yet. I apologize for that, but excuse me, but I loathe when people correct me about me saying that's my daughter. I don't like it. Inside, I get boiling up mad, but I just hold my tongue because that's just how society is. They don't like, people don't want you, like, oh no, that's not your daughter, that's your stepdaughter. You know, that's a key thing. And it hurts me even more when I go to pick up Lily at the end of the day before picking up her mom, because at this juncture in life, we only have one car. She says, when her friends say, "Oh, your dad is here, your dad is here," she goes, "No, that's my stepdad." Right? That's just makes me super sad. So, anyways, this day, like, it hits me when I wake up that this day is the day I'm not going to see her for the whole weekend because she's with her dad, which I'm not mad about that because she's such an amazing girl that I feel like I'm robbing her dad of the experience of his daughter based off of his choices, what have you. I'll go into that a little bit later in future episodes, but I'm not there to judge the man. Like, I'm not there judging him, saying you should have been there for blah blah blah, because his loss was my gain in some regards. But she is an amazing girl. She is so smart, so articulate. Her handwriting has been amazingly improved. She goes to Sweetwater Elementary School. She's just a bundle of fiery ball of energy that's friendly and wild and free and doesn't care what anybody thinks, and I just adore her. And when I wake up and I realize she has to go, I kind of like get cold. And those of you that li are listening to this, you know that when you get cold, I'm one that the personality that I can't hide my emotions. I look, feel depressed, or I'm sharp, or I just don't like it. I'm not depressed. Let me not say that, because there are people that do battle depression, and that would be very not doing their battles a justice, but I was upset, really. So we're getting to the halfway point in this episode, but I just want you to really get the feeling I get by being in one of these considered broken homes where it's just such a commonplace in this nation right now of those who are in broken homes. And I'm gonna actually Google in the intermediate or intermission of this episode the statistic, and I'll read that for you guys today. But I have like a mission, at least for this house, that there will not be any brokenness here. Like, this is going to be, I'm gonna teach Liliana with all my heart, and Avner when he's born, with all my soul. I'm gonna show them what a true family is about, what a true man is about, who doesn't shirk his responsibilities, who doesn't run, who takes ownership, who like gets mad sometimes, shows shows emotion, gets sad, but also gets happy, gets moments. Moments that now that we have the internet can be saved forever. So we can go back and look at those memories and say, wow, remember when we did that? Abner, do you remember this? I do want to, before closing, commend my wife because when I met her, what really touched me was she literally kept everything from the moment of like kindergarten all the way up. And in some regards, is a very big inspiration to this show. Well, thanks for listening so far. And this segment will be over, and I'll go on to the next one. Thank you. Hey guys, and thanks for sticking with me. This is the second half of the Millennial Dad. And I told you on this last half of this episode that I was going to look up the statistics of broken homes. And according to the Spruce, 50% of children will see a broken marriage, will witness the divorce of their parents. And out of that 50%, another half of that will also see the next marriage break. So the thing that is crazy is I'm fighting against the odds. Like you have to flip a coin. Heads is you're sticking it out, and tails is you don't. And what happens, at least for me, what I'm looking at here is that it's destroying the fabric of our future. I know that sounds a little dramatic, but I'm going, that's the point of this, is to log my time, my ideas for my children, so they get to know their father and also know that he's doing everything. And marriage and relationships aren't easy. Like, if you are just a stubborn person, that's just the way you are, your way or the highway, it's going to be hard for people to relate to you. Now, if you're malleable and you work on the relationship, then it'll be easier for the both of you. One person can't work on it themselves. Now, I'm not saying that because that's happening to me. I guess what I'm saying for this part is I'm just looking at, I'm going to do everything that I can for my daughter Liliana and my son who's about to be born, Abner. Now, that being said, today also, apart from that sad moment, the happy and fun moment was I got to go because I own my business. I got to go without question to my wife's like second to last checkup for little baby Avner. Now, Avner is not born yet. I mean, according to this one, I mean, he has 10 days till he gets here, which is really scary to me. But I'm excited. My wife is getting visibly bigger. She looks really great pregnant. She's just glowing, skin super soft, belly just nice and plump, like she swallowed a basketball. She waddles everywhere, which is really, really cute. And the only bad thing is if there is any, the only thing I would say that I don't like is when she has to still have morning sickness. With this pregnancy, she's been throwing up a lot in the morning still, and it's either dry heaving or just it just bothers me. I don't want her, like I just wish I could do something, and whenever it's happening, I just wish there was some way I could help. Anyways, we drove to Jacksonville, Florida, which is, if you know anything about Florida, Daytona Beach is in the middle, on the beach, directly east of Orlando. It's where all the people that love races go and Bike Week come. It's like a big touristy place. The thing that I also see, and this is no knock on the older generation at all, but there is a lot of older people, like 55 plus community here. So I will get into that a little bit later because we are in the process of looking for a house. And for those of you who don't know, when you look for a house, there's a lot of work involved. But anyways, I digress. We go to Jacksonville, which is about 1 hour and 15 minutes away, to visit a very special midwife. This midwife has delivered so many babies for so many years. And I know that's a vague number, and I promise by the next podcast, I will know that answer. Well, I shouldn't say promise, but I will definitely find out because it's this midwife, particular midwife, is very important. Now, she, oh man, why is she important, Adrian? Get to the point. Well, she's important because that's my mom. Why we drive all the way to Jacksonville is because my mom, the woman responsible for bringing me into this world, who has taken care of me, who has went hungry so I can eat, who like fought battles for me, who bailed me out growing up. We growing up haven't always seen eye to eye, and more on that on other episodes. But this is just a magical moment for me because this is my first son, and my mom has been seeing my wife these entire 9 months, checking up on Avner, her grandson, and it's just an amazing, happy moment for me. What I'm also blessed to have is a great relationship between my wife and my mom. They're old chums. Honestly, let me tell you guys something very secret, a very good secret, is my wife actually has the exact same birthday as my mom, August the 19th. So that's it. It's just awesome. They have a similar personality. They're both funny, but it's just was something that my mom, I do remember as a kid growing up in Nova Wood Apartments. My mom was only making, like, I think she told me $12,000 a year in 1997 or 8, something around there. She was getting a growing family, living in a like 2 or 3 bedroom apartment in Nova Wood Apartments. She was the apartment manager there, and she knew she wanted a change in her life, and she was 29 going back to school. She dropped out, got a GED, and then she pursued a degree in being a nurse. Then she went from there to being a midwife. And the reason she told me was because she loved to deliver babies. So flash forward now, I'm almost 29, and just having her be able to deliver my son, her grandson, is just a magical moment. So we get in the car, and the drive is a long way. And we always, most of the time, because now it's near the end of the pregnancy, the Fridays are more frequent. The visits are more frequent. So we go like every week now till the baby's born in here, just to make sure everything's going according to schedule. Come on, guys. This is my first son. I don't know how this is gonna work. I don't know. I just know that she's getting bigger and a baby is just like growing in her. I almost said cooking, but I think that's because I'm in my kitchen right now. But a baby is just growing inside of her, and I just don't know what to expect. I don't know what he looks like. I think that's my biggest thing, being a dad, having a son, is which one of our traits is he gonna have? Like, how tall is he gonna be? What Well, not right when he comes out. He's not going to be super tall, but just I just am imagining the future for him. And as I see Liliana dropped off to school this morning right before our ride to Jacksonville for an hour, I just saw her at 14 helping out with little Avner. It was really weird flash forward, but I know she's going to be a big sister, a great big sister. And I think the thing that I'm going to have to help her out with the most is because she's going to see the love that we have for him. And she's an only child, so she hasn't actually had to share anything, let alone a family or mommy or daddy, but she'll make it. I know she'll definitely make it through. So we take the ride up to Jacksonville through the traffic, and my wife has this thing while we're driving that she actually has to distract herself. What I mean by that is she's sitting in the driver's seat, or in the passenger seat rather, and she's looking at her phone, scrolling. We're listening to music, and we are pretty, I mean, she's way more of a hip hop fan than me because I really just rather recently got into it. I mean, I listen to it, but not like every day type of thing. So she has to distract herself. Because if she's not, if she's looking at the road, she feels like just randomly someone's gonna merge into me and I don't won't be able to react fast enough or anything. So she's always like, "Watch the sky. See this. Press your brakes. They're braking. Do you see them?" type of thing. Really, she's working on it, guys. She is really working on it. But I have to tune her out because otherwise I would probably get in a wreck if I listen to the contradicting directions sometimes she gives and all this other kind of stuff. So I know she's probably listening. So it's not really as bad as I'm making it sound, really. But it is one of those things that, you have to remember to yourself, happy wife, happy life. So whatever it takes to, if I need to slow down, I slow down. If I don't, I have to just acknowledge that I see somebody, or just speed up out of their blind spot, what have you. So, anyways, we drive there. We frequent this Starbucks. I'm standing in line, nothing special, but when I get my coffee, my white mocha, I guess Grande is the largest. That venti, yeah, venti. I still don't know the sizes. Let me just say large, But I know so much for millennial, right? Don't know the Starbucks sizes. But she gets hers, and we get this cinnamon bun croissant type deal that's not in Daytona. And it's just at that moment I realize like how magical it is to be with her to the point of just shivering and just sitting there standing in line. And I wore a Ravenclaw jacket and she just wore her jacket. And we're just two little peas in a pod there together, braving this Starbucks filled with all these people dressed up all nice and all this, having morning meetings. And it was just pretty cool to just be chilling like a villain with my wife at Starbucks. So after that, we then go and check up on the baby. And the one thing, because this is like one of our last checkups, when we actually checked up with the doctor, Dr. Kimashi in the St. Vincent's OBGYN, she would tell Danielle when she was checking on the baby that he is perfect. He is perfect. And she told me after that visit that that's what she loves to hear, that he's growing perfect. So I say all that to say this is that And that we're coming to the close of this episode, and I was just going into my morning for today for you guys, is that children are perfect. Like, there is no... I know I'm going to probably not really offend anybody, but go against what's taught out there in, like, organized religion, that a child comes into this world as a sinner or evil or something like that. I'm here to tell you today, from the millennial dad perspective, that every child born is born in pure innocence and perfection. There is nothing of this world and all of its problems that has touched it yet. Racism hasn't existed in their little world. Hatred hasn't existed in their little world. Like, all they know is pure love from mommy and daddy. They were created out of that moment of love. So when they're coming from that portion of love from the mom and dad, those 23 chromosomes from the mommy, 23 from the daddy, making this beautiful soul that comes into this world, it's us that mess it up. Like, we do that to them. We teach them to divide ourselves. We do that. So I challenge all the parents listening to this today to just learn to love. And when you do that, it will, the kids will learn from example. And I mean, I'm not preaching, or I'm not teaching you or correcting you. I just know that when the problems that we've seen this past week, like, at least at this particular time, like, a mass shooting was done in my state, in the south of my state, in Florida, South Florida, by a child to other children, killing them. You know, you don't, that's not what kind of world I would ever imagine having to raise my kids in, to not know if they'd be gone forever. And just hearing testimonies of those parents gives me chills, because I don't know what it would be like not to ever see my little Liliana again. And I'm getting a bit emotional and tearing up thinking about it, but this is raw. This is real. And I just want to protect my children with everything I have. But it starts with love. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to hear you, see you guys again. Hey guys, again, thanks for listening to my podcast. If you would like to talk with me further, I'm very social. I will talk to you if you send me a message that you listened, say hi, or you want to talk more about what you listened to. You can reach me on my Twitter account at @DRIAN_Trotter, Trotter. You can also follow me and Liliana and Mommy and Abner at Adrianos, Adrianous on Twitter, on Instagram. You can even add me on Facebook. I know they have a 5,000 friend limit right now, but I'm also working on the website for this particular podcast that will go into the Millennial Dad. You can follow my story, you can follow my daughter Liliana, you can follow my wife, you can follow my son Abner, and our growing ups and adventures and shenanigans. Well, again, thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you tomorrow.